Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, every day you and I are hit with junk mail, TV ads, web pop-ups, social media ads telling us that we need more stuff. According to the website Statista, $990 billion was spent on advertising in 2023. You heard me right. That's just shy of $1 trillion, yeah? Did I get that right? That's crazy. $990 billion was spent to convince us that we need newer, bigger, more. $990 billion spent to convince us that we need to be healthier, stronger, smarter. After all, you're worth it. $990 billion was spent to convince us if we gain more stuff, we will gain more happiness. Now have a listen to God. Now, 1 Timothy 6, verse 9. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Who are you going to believe? Powerball that says we will find happiness when we can spend the rest of our lives, or God who says, if money is your master, it will destroy you. Here's the thing. God wants us to gain more happiness. But God's path to happiness is not via more stuff. God's path to happiness is outlined for us in 1 Timothy chapter 6. It's through contentment and generosity. And so that's how we're going to break down 1 Timothy chapter 6 verses 3 to 19. We're going to see that there is gain in contentment. There is gain in generosity. And then I'll finish by giving four top tips on kingdom investment. Four kingdom investment tips. So gain in contentment. Gain in generosity, four kingdom tips, four kingdom investment tips. So firstly, gain in contentment. Now, and before I jump into contentment, just need to set the context a little bit. So have your Bible open, 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. He has an unhealthy craving for controversy and for quarrels about words which produce envy, dissension, slander, evil suspicions, and constant friction among people who are depraved in mind and deprived of the truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. The Apostle Paul wrote this letter to his ministry apprentice Timothy. And there were obviously some false teachers within the church. False teachers who enjoyed to bring in controversies, arguing over words. And apparently they could make money out of it. Which means there was also churches that were willing to pay for these false teachers. Do you see that last phrase in verse 5? Imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Imagining that you can run around a church and make some money off stirring up Christians to drift away from the truth. Which means the prosperity gospel was not invented in the 20th century. There have been people abusing churches to make money out of them right back in the very beginning. But that's another sermon for another day. For now, I want you to note how Paul presents the better path to godliness. It's there in verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness with contentment is great gain. Our generosity series, it's not a fundraising campaign. This is not what does church want from you. This is what God wants for us, for you, for me. It's deliberately titled Generosity. Our goal is overflowing lives released to God for others. But for some crazy reason, when Christians start to talk about money, we start to ask selfish questions like, what does church want from me now? How much does God expect me to give? Have a listen to how Zach Nielsen puts it. Like the young high school boy who wonders how far is too far with his girlfriend, we are quickly caught up in questions about how rich is too rich, how poor is too poor, and the like. Where is the line? Do I feel guilty for having too much? Do the kids have enough? What does enough even mean? Should I feel guilty about not giving as much as so-and-so? If I give more, does that mean I'm more spiritual? The hamster wheel of comparison propelled by our spring-loaded legalism keeps spinning unto exhaustion. We're all tempted to be prideful about what we give or feel guilty about what we don't. Neither response befits the gospel, which crushes pride and erases guilt. Here's the thing. God wants you to be happy. God wants you to know the joy that comes from releasing money. God does not want to take from you. But note well, God says there is great gain in godliness with contentment. Gain. God wants us to gain. The Christian life is not a retreat from gaining. The Christian life is not a lifestyle that's monkish and monastic and retreating from money. The Christian lifestyle is not groveling poverty. But the Christian does know a very important financial fact. Verse 9 again. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation, into a snare, into many senseless and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evils. It is through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs. Do you desire more money? Well, remember, that desire has sulfur fumes all over it. So, how do we avoid the hellbound path of lusting after money and at the same time avoid the other side of thinking that the only Christian is the one who's happy to be in poverty for the rest of their lives? Look at verse 6 with me. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Content. That's a sweet word. If I asked you to define it, you'd probably struggle. But you know it when you've got it, and you know it when you see it. So what is content? What is contentment? Verse 8 tells us, but if we have food and clothing, with these we will be content. When it comes to earthly wealth, contentment is knowing all we need is food and clothing. But what about a house? God says food and clothing, full stop. What about superannuation? I know all you uni students are thinking about that. God says food and clothing, full stop. What about holidays? God says food and clothing, full stop. What about a car? Well, guess what God says? Food and clothing, full stop. What about some money in the account so I can take a mate out for a hot chocky? God says food and clothing, full stop. Let this sink in. What's your content measurement? Keeping up with the lies of advertising? Or food and clothing? Now, is it wrong to live in a house? Is it wrong to have super? Is it wrong to take an overseas holiday? Is it wrong to own a car? Is it wrong to enjoy a hot chocky? No. But they're not even the questions that are raised by this passage. The question posed by this passage is this: would we be content if they were all taken away? Our house, our super, our holidays, our car, our cafe runs can all be taken away. And we will still be able to worship the Lord and tell people about Jesus. All you and I need, all you and I need for a joyful, godly life is food and clothing. At the end of Job chapter 1, we find that Job has had everything taken away from him. His possessions stolen, his family killed, his house destroyed, his body riddled with some sort of infection. And then we find Job in these words: he arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and fell on the ground and worshipped. And he said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job wasn't full of joy at that point. Job was not cheerful. Job was grieving. Job was able to worship. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Every day we're discipled by consumerism, and our personal consumerism is bankrolled by credit and stimulated by $990 billion worth of advertising. And subconsciously, we have turned wants into needs, and it's killing us. This is how Ralph Winters puts it: the underdeveloped societies suffer from one set of diseases: tuberculosis, malnutrition, pneumonia, parasites, typhoid, cholera, typhus, etc. Affluent America, affluent West, has virtually invented a whole new set of diseases: obesity, arteriosclerosis, heart disease, strokes, lung cancer, venereal disease, psoriasis of the liver, drug addiction, alcoholism, divorce, battered children, suicide, murder, take your choice. Labor-saving machines have turned out to be body-killing devices. Our affluence has allowed both mobility and isolation of the nuclear family, and as a result, our divorce courts, our prisons, and our mental institutions are flooded. In saving ourselves, we have nearly lost ourselves. Friends, lack of contentment is killing us. Turning wants into needs is killing us. The pursuit of more stuff is killing us. And there's a solution. Learn that there is great gain in contentment. Okay, that's our first point. We now move to our second point: gain in generosity. Jump down to verse 17 with me. "As for the rich in this present age, charge them not to be haughty, nor to set their hopes on the uncertainty of riches, but on God, who richly provides us with everything to enjoy. They are to do good, to be rich in good works, to be generous and ready to share, thus storing up treasure for themselves as good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. These verses were written with us in mind. We are rich. Now, I know all the pensioners and the uni students and a single parent is not thinking they're rich right now. But let me show you something. In the Barefoot Investor, Yoel recommends this website, Giving What We Can. It's a website that helps us learn how rich you and I are with a detailed analysis of things. And so if you're on the single age pension, that's $29,000 a year. That puts you in the richest 11% of the world. Now, if you're on the minimum wage, $47,600. That sounds like a lot of money to a uni student, doesn't it? And it is, because that puts you in the richest 4.9% of the world. And then if you're on the median wage in Australia, median including part-time, full-time workers, $77,600, the wealthiest 2% of the world. Isn't that extraordinary? Why has God placed you and I in such wealth? Simple. To be generous. To share. It's there in verse 18. They, the rich, are to do good. To be rich in good works. To be generous and ready to share. Thus storing up treasure for themselves as a good foundation for the future, so that they may take hold of that which is truly life. Seeking security and comfort in accumulating lots of stuff is not life. Being content with food and clothing while generously sharing what you have, that's life. Not because it earns a way into heaven, but because it shows where your greatest treasure really is. Jesus, that's life. There is great gain in generosity. There is great gain in generosity. In Acts 20, verse 35, we're told Jesus said, "It is more blessed to give than receive." More blessed. Great gain. Can you hear our Father trying to instruct us here? Blessing, gain, fullness, which will not be found through more and more stuff. Again, I cannot recommend this book enough. He helps us work all of this out in our lives. Okay, I'm going to finish up by sharing four kingdom investment tips. Yoel Frank, he does a better job than I do. I'm going to give it to you briefly and quickly. And the first kingdom investment tip is get out of debt. Get out of debt. Really, get out of debt. If you're using your credit card or bank loans or mortgage to turn wants into needs, get out of debt. Now, at that point, I really do sound like the Barefoot Investor, don't I? If you've read any of Scott Pape, not a Christian as far as I know, he tells us, get out of debt. Living within our means used to be a common virtue. But these days, with easy credit, if we want something, we want it now, and so let's just go ahead and add it to the credit bill. Now, you might be asking, okay, what about a mortgage? That's a form of debt. Yes, it is. And here's my justification for having a mortgage. Not only do we need food and clothing to survive, we need somewhere to live in order to survive. God does not expect us to be homeless. Yoel Frank goes into more detail for justifying a mortgage for Christians, but it really just comes down to we're either going to be paying rent or a mortgage, or I'm going to move in with you. I guess there's three options. And so If you can get into a mortgage for your living arrangements, that's okay. But here's the thing. Here's how Nicole and I went about it when we bought our house 18, 19 years ago. We went, okay, with this mortgage, can we still put our generous giving at the top? And then we worked out our lifestyle underneath it. And even then, before we bought in, we went, okay, let's put in 3, 4, 5, 6 interest rate rises and just work all of this out. Are we living within our means? Okay, that's the first tip. Get out of debt. For you young ones, don't get into debt. Second one, use a budget. I mean, that just makes sense. If you're not going to get into debt, you need to know your budget, don't you? The money coming in, the money going out. And if you don't know how to do a budget, there is no shame in that. Ask someone in your small group. Ask someone to help you, show you how to do a budget. And then once you've got a budget and you've got all your money in front of you and how it's all working, I can almost guarantee this. You'll start to see where you're putting some of these wants and making them needs, and you might actually find a little bit of money to release and be generous with. So use a budget. Third one, remember this. Everything belongs to God. Everything you and I have is a gift from our Father. As you look at your budget, do not ask, how much do I have to give? Remember, everything you have is a gift from God. Every single cent. And so start to think about, okay, how do I steward every single cent for the glory of God? How do I steward every cent to show my heart and the world Jesus is the greatest treasure? And so put your rose on your budget. Put the rose at the top for your giving to church, your giving to missions, your giving to poverty relief. So for the Covetses, we put the Point Church up the top, both up the top so we see it, up the top the most that we give away, because you guys are the ones who most disciple us, so we're most excited about that. Then we have some Misho friends. Then we have 3 Compassion Children. We have Open Doors. We have some other mission organisations from within church. And that adds up to about 11 to 12% going out to kingdom work. We wish it was more at our age and stage of life. And then there's just, on top of that, we want to be generous with stuff we don't even keep track of as well. Brothers and sisters, this is possible. The Australian Bureau of Statistics states that the average full-time employee in Australia, the average is currently $90,000. That really sounds like a lot of money if you're in high school, doesn't it? Although teachers, first year out, 85 grand now. 90 grand puts you in the top 1% richest of the world. There's quite a few of us in our church. We're in the 1% club. Brothers and sisters, we're wealthy. And if we're living by God's standard of content, we have oodles of money to give to ministry and poverty relief. 10% is dead set easy. Now, I know that some of you might be thinking 10% is impossible. And I just ask, if you look over your budget, and is that because you've put debt above living? Have a look over it. And then for the younger crowd here at Arvo Church, I cannot encourage you enough. From now, from high school, from university, be thinking, okay, for the rest of my life, I'm going to put kingdom generosity at the top of the budget, and then I'm going to work out how I live a content, generous life underneath that. I know you can do it. I've been doing it all my Christian life, whether it's been with pocket money, whether I've been below minimum wage, and in my current situation. I also know lots of other Christians' testimony is exactly the same. And then here's the other thing I know. If any of us had to take a 10% hit on our income because our employer downsized, we would work out a way to survive. We can do this. Okay. Fourth and final tip. Release more and more and more and more. There's great gain in godliness with contentment. There is gain in generosity. But as we finish, I've got to tell you a danger. And the danger is that I put a percentage on the table. God doesn't. I think he strongly hints at it from the Old Testament, a 10% principle. But have you noticed in all the Bible verses that we've looked at over the last 3 weeks and all the Bible verses that we've had within our point groups that God does not put an amount on the table for what we are to give? God gives principles, and Phil's going to run through with us next week in from 2 Corinthians chapter 8. God puts the principles of generosity, sacrifice, and cheerfulness, but he doesn't put an amount. So why have I put an amount for us to be thinking into? Because I think it's helpful. Because I think Western Christians, we've lost our way in the last 100 years. We used to be more generous in the Great Depression than we are in our current wealth. And so for a baseline of working out sacrifice and generosity, I think 10% is a good starting point from which to release more and more. The lotteries want to help you spend for the rest of your life. But you know how that story ends. The biggest lottery winners often end up the most miserable people. God also wants you and I to spend for the rest of our lives. Whether we live off $2 a day or $2,000 a day, it is always, always, always more blessed to give than receive. The key to unlocking that blessedness is contentment and generosity. You see, whatever we have or don't have in this life doesn't really matter, because in the next, we have everything. There is great gain in godliness with contentment. Let's pray. Oh, Father God, you are a ridiculously generous God. The universe that you created. And then after we walked away from you, you pursued us. You sent your own son to die in our place. You are crazy generous. Fill our hearts with all of your grace and your mercy and your richness. Because, Father, we want to be your children. Give us a generous mindset, not a scarcity mindset. We pray this for your glory and our joy. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tp.com. cc.org.au